Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. What a wonderful day is to say, God loves you, I love you. Love is for everybody in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about the gospel ship. And I want you to think for a minute before I read the scriptures. Use your imagination. If you ever been on a boat, gone out into the Gulf, or maybe even been on a cruise, or maybe a ship or a boat, you know, it feels exciting and it's adventurous and it's exhilarating sometimes, isn't it? Do you feel happy and free? Well, for most people, there's something amazing about fresh salt air. The wind on our face as we sail, glistening into the sun, or even a little misty rain. Think about that. Many of you love to feel that boat ride. I know I've talked to some of you that like cruises and all that kind of stuff, or even just going out fishing. But let me tell you a secret. If you're in church, you're sitting right in the middle of a boat. That's the old gospel ship. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. I've been in church many times. It don't feel like no ship. Well, let me tell you a little history about the church. The architecture of the church is built upon a vision of a boat. In fact, the word for the seating area of the church is called nava, which is Latin, which means ship. So, I just want to close our eyes for a moment and imagine that we're on a boat. And our pews are the benches. Above you is the sky, and around you the deep blue sea. And in your hands are the oars. And ahead of you is the horizon. Adventure beckons before us. And who is with you in the boat? Why, Jesus, of course. That's always where you want Jesus, right in the boat with you, this boat that we call life. Because when Jesus is your navigator, we can get through almost anything. Well, not almost anything. We can get through any storm. We can get through any tumult. We can fight the waves, any challenge, any adventure. Because why? Well, because we'll always run into adversities in this life, challenges, and even adventures can turn out bad sometimes. But you will always get to the other side, guided and driven by the winds of the Holy Spirit. That's why today we are going to take a trip on the old gospel ship. And we find our scripture text today in Matthew, in John chapter 6. We want to be able to look at verses 1 through 21. Now, Matthew, I got Matthew on the brain this morning because some of these things in all the Gospels are very similar. That's why they call them simplistic gospels. That's not the word. Not simplistic gospels. Synoptic. I get it right here, Ravi, pretty soon. Anyhow, see, so I'm just like you. My brain goes off somewhere and I don't know where it is. So I say, help me, Holy Ghost, and it comes back. So this is the scripture. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. New Living Translation says this. That's about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and also about him when he walked on water. Hear God's word. After this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd followed him wherever he went because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. And then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill, looking for him. And turning to Philip, he asked, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, it would take a small fortune to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Verse 10, tell everyone to sit down, Jesus ordered. So all of them, the men along, numbered 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took 2 loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the people, and he did the same thing with the fish. And then they all ate until they were full. And Jesus said to them, oh, gather up the leftovers, so that nothing is wasted. There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with pieces of bread, and the people did not eat. And when the people saw this miraculous sign, they said, surely he is the prophet that we've been expecting. Jesus saw that they were making ready to take him by force and make him king, so he went higher into the hills alone. Verse 16. That evening, his disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell, Jesus still hadn't come back. They got in the boat and headed across the lake. The lake is really the Sea of Galilee, to Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them as they rowed, and the sea grew rough. They were about 3-4 miles out when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water towards the boat. They were terrified. But he called out to them, I am here, don't be afraid. Then they were eager to let him in, and immediately the boat arrived at their destination. Well, may God add his blessings, the reading and the hearing and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, Phil is amazing, and Phil was able to take the New Living Translation and put them on the slides. So as you look at the place where you look at the youth message, which it's for all of us, young and old, because we're all young at heart, amen? And if you look at the youth message and you look down and you'll see the scripture, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21, you will be able to click on that and it'll bring up slides that let you look at the scripture with us. And we're doing that in church also on Sunday, so people can follow along with the scripture reading that I'm doing. I like, as you know, the New Living Translation. So, wanted to tell you about this little story of the old gospel ship. Andrew brought the boy and his loaves of fishes to Jesus, and he said, here is lunch that we can share. And then Jesus said to the disciples, have all the people sit down. And he took the lunch and he prayed, and then they began to pass it out. Now, I want you to know that Jesus was not a magician. He was no magic trick. Jesus did this to show us in the scriptures that God is loving and generous. And Jesus did this to show us that everyone is important to God. Now, we call this a youth message, and we enjoy ministering to the youth and the young people. We don't have them in church right now, but hopefully and prayerfully sometime soon. But an adult or a very important person didn't offer to share this food, right? You know who shared it? The young boy. Young children are important to God because of the sharing that the young boy offered. Everyone ate. Now, I want you to know that you are important to God, just as important as that boy who shared lunch with God's people. It's a wonderful act of generosity. You see, just because you're young don't mean that you're not an important part of God's world and creation. Now, I want to give us a little story. Would it surprise you to learn that everything in your life right now is pretty much the way you made it? That's from hundreds of options that you choose, your response to whatever situation presents itself. Now, I think we all would agree that we have exercised the capacity to choose what we receive. We have freedom of choice, and God gives us that. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't give you that to be able to stand in your way of choices that you make. The first place, you can make a decision, but you can change it. Ooh, what a wonderful notion that is, preacher. Well, whatever happens to you, you can say, I am the master of my life. But just as good as that comes to you is a demonstration of your majesty. So is the negative. I want to share with you about hopping fleas. Did you know that hopping fleas are trained? Fleas are put into a glass jar, and as they try to jump into the jar, they bump their heads on the lid. And over time, they forget that they can jump for the fear of bumping their heads and never go beyond the limits of the jar. Even though the lids have been removed, though confined to failure, they continue to jump because they've been conditioned to do that in confinement. So it is with us. If we let it be, our self-made limitations sometimes cause us to forget that we can fly. And we respond like the disciples, "Oh, Lord, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." We often needlessly confine ourselves to these glass jars. Now, we may earn to use our lives creatively, and it's wonderful things, but our invisible prison sometimes reminds us, you can't do that. It's impractical. You're not smart enough. It'll cost too much. People laugh at you. You're too young. You're too old. Your health won't allow it. Sometimes parents won't allow it, and it takes too long, and you don't have education, you know, the whole litany of stuff. But suppose we could remember that we were made to achieve. And suppose that we can remember that miracles do happen. And suppose we really believe that we are children and heirs of this magnificent universe that God created. Would we still then allow our jars to limit us to hopping just so far and no further? Well, just suppose that we became aware that resentments and hurts and grudges and illness and greed and the likes are glass jars that have been or can be removed, and indeed we may be hampered by the illusion of our own self-imposed limitations. We attract to ourselves whatever our minds are focused upon, and once aware, we can change, and then we will no longer be confined to that glass jar, and we'll be ready to achieve anything in this life that our hearts desire. And God will give you the wisdom and the ability to do it. Just thinking about some of the things that are going on where young people had this vision when they were young. Jeff Bezos talks about getting involved in understanding about the space thing when the Apollo 11 took off for the moon in 1969. I, as a young man, watched that. I stayed up all night to watch it. And that just gave him a desire to achieve what he achieved. And it was wonderful watching it the other day. Well, I get the rambling sometimes, but God loves you and we love you, and looking forward to seeing you in church sometime soon. Amen.